This is Small Business Conversations with Akona Machoba, unlocking essential advice, opinions, and key issues that affect South Africa's small business community.
Rising energy costs and economic uncertainty are the main threats to businesses in South Africa at the moment. This is the main finding of the South African Mid-Market Survey, which forms part of the latest Grant Thornton International Business Report that provides insights on the optimism of businesses to continue operating in the country. In the previous episode, we spoke directly to business owners about how the ongoing power crisis is affecting operations. We heard in that episode about the heavy financial burden that load shedding is placing on business owners. We also heard about the non-monetary costs of the blackouts. And we heard about the emotional and mental toll the blackouts were taking on them. This week, though, we are zooming out on the picture and taking a bird's eye shot at how optimistic business is about continuing to operate in South Africa. To help us understand the broad sentiment, I am joined by Yugan Pele, the Director of Business Consulting at SNG Grant Thornton. Thank you for joining me, Yugan.
Good morning, Akona. Thank you for having me on the show. Really looking forward to our conversation.
Sure, definitely. So, Yugan, just to set the scene, can you please tell us about the Grant Thornton International Business Report and why does the company choose to undertake this research every half year?
Thank you, Akona. So the International Business Report, IBR, is the world's leading survey of mid-market companies. It was launched in 1992, developed in partnership with Oxford Economics. So this index is calculated every 6 months. And what it does, it draws on the world's largest and longest running research study in mid-market. So we interview about 10,000 mid-market business leaders across 28 economies. It's also the first index to track the health of mid-market companies at a global, regional, country, and a sector level. So what's really great about the study is that we look at, you know, future prospects of mid-market companies, but those that are employing between 50 and 500 staff at a global, regional, sector, and obviously a country level. Like we had mentioned early on, it does take place twice a year. And what it involves is, you know, interviews with CEOs, managing directors, chairpersons, or other senior executives. Questionnaires also translated into local languages. And we do a lot of desktop research and so on that goes with it. And in South Africa, which is bringing back home, we've interviewed approximately about 100 business leaders and in different industries. And the report that we are currently discussing is the survey or the research results that came out in the second half of last year, 2022.
And can you then maybe talk us briefly through the key findings of this latest report? Which insights stood out the most for you?
So there's two types of optimism that we would look at. Number one, we look at optimism in terms of revenue growth and profitability in businesses. And I'll talk about that one first. And then we look at optimism in terms of the country's economy. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe a bit on the positive side. I'll start with that first.
Sure.
From performance standpoint. Yeah. Let's start positive first. From performance standpoint, the South African economy carries optimism in terms of revenue and growth and profitability. So if you look at the results that comes out of the report, right, it's expected for the next 12 months that there'll be, and this is up from 59% in the first half of the year. So 69% of South African mid-market businesses are hoping to record an increase in revenue in the next 12 months. Now, the positive part is that South Africans are expecting demand to pick up to pre-COVID levels, which is good, because there'll always be demand, you know, for services and goods and so on. There is also, in terms of there's a 54% of mid-market businesses are expecting an increase in exports, which is quite good because in terms of international markets, that's what they're saying, you know, there should be growth in terms of what's being purchased from South Africa in the international market. Also, in terms of investment prospects, if we look at South African businesses and where they're investing, that's faring quite well because South African businesses are pushing for new capacity and This is in contrary to some of the trends observed globally. There's an upturn on investments, which then also reflects optimism in businesses' profitability and where they also putting their monies in terms of investment plans. So if we look at just some of the big investments that are being made, and this is more to improve capacity and so on. So we're seeing an up in staff skills. So we have entities are saying we need to upskill our staff. IT, information technology, big investments coming in information technology, and ultimately that's to, you know, to streamline businesses, make it more efficient, especially working digitally and so on. Research and development, there's an uptick in that. Plant and machinery as well, and new buildings. So we saw quite an uptick in that. But if I may, let me look at the other side of the spectrum. We look at optimism for the country's economy over the next 12 months, right? So the one, like I said, when we look at the positive side, it's as a business owner and your own business and where you see it going in terms of some, this is the biggest sentiment. But when you look at optimism for the country's economy, that has dropped from 56% of businesses in the first half to 52%. Now, it's still higher than where we were during the COVID pandemic, but this is could be due to, you know, that organizations are expecting things to more or less remain consistent in where they have control in areas like profitability, like you mentioned, and investments. But the biggest gap, I think, is things that's out of their control, like inflation, the geopolitical climate, and especially the energy crisis. And if I may, energy cost as a constraint has gained a lot of momentum in South Africa. 74% of businesses are believing that this mounting energy crisis, which basically is leading to the load shedding, is causing huge financial challenges for them. Load shedding is disruptive, you know, for businesses, which is resulting in excessive downtime. So if you take the energy costs, you look at economic uncertainty, those are top concerns. But then it's also followed closely by labor costs. And if you look at then the shortage of finance, because in terms of where we are right now, you'll find that the shortage of finance and the rising interest rates. So you find that these are elements that's out of a business's control that affects it.
Thank you, Eugen, for those key findings. I also found the labor costs note to be quite interesting, but we'll touch on that a little bit later. The energy crisis, I mean, everyone feels it in different intensities, and we experience it in different ways, and we're frustrated by it in different ways. But the report noted that in the second half of 2022, 74% of mid-market businesses surveyed regarded energy costs as a major issue. I think you mentioned that. But what I found interesting was the fact that in comparison to a pre-pandemic assessment, 47% of businesses thought that energy costs were a major issue. Can you speak to us about the relationship that exists between energy costs and business optimism, and what exactly this means for the presence of a competitive ecosystem in the country? Is it possible that the power crisis could actually result in an exodus of business in South Africa?
Thank you for the question. Very interesting question. So if we have to look at businesses and their operations, you have to look at which of the businesses in the industry usually depend a lot on energy and which are those businesses that do not depend a lot on energy. So when we looked at the whole spectrum, you'll find that there were businesses that depend, especially your small to mid-market, that was depending a lot on energy. Many had to shut down their operations. And what's the sad part of that is once they shut down operations, they cause major supply chain disruptions as well. And that is the effect that we started seeing, because if you have a supply chain of two or three businesses, I'm talking about mid-market, and suddenly they shut down, that causes a big disruption in your supply chain, because that means you need to go out and look for other suppliers, you need to go and look for other alternatives in terms of for your own business, like the backup generators, the uninterrupted power supplies, you know, solar power solutions. Now, businesses are trying different alternatives, but the issue is that this is all coming with cost. And if you look at especially generators that uses diesel, it's just a commodity that's got significantly expensive. And this is the disruption that we're seeing, that those entities that cannot afford the cost are being closed down. Now, you're talking about exiting the country. If we have to look at international trends, it's not different. Because of the conflict that's been happening in the world, it's expensive in other countries as well. So therefore, with businesses, they're looking on how can they invest better, where can they get, you know, easy access to finance. As South Africans, we're very resilient. And that's what we're seeing, a lot of changes in business models.
And the sentiment about us being a resilient country keeps coming up. People can decide for themselves whether the resilience is welcomed or not. But moving on, you mentioned labor costs as well. And I thought this was quite interesting finding coming out of the report. Labor costs came up as one of the barriers for business. And I just want to know if you can help us just understand this. Can you explain this further? What seems to be the issue here? Is South African labor maybe too expensive for business, or is it a matter of poor economic conditions, not creating the conditions to support growth and thus leaving business unable to keep up with employee needs? Where is this stemming from?
All right, fantastic. So after the COVID pandemic, right, what started happening is that there was a shift in terms of employee expectations, a way of life. We found that many employees preferred working at home, and you still see that today. So there was a shift in the employee expectations. What we started finding is because we had this situation where employees are at home, suddenly even global companies started employing, let's say, for example, in South Africa. You could sit at home and have a job based in UK or USA, earning in pounds and dollars. And so it was an opportunity for employees to get better sort of opportunities overseas. So that's one. Another one, what we found is that because of the rising inflation costs and businesses unable to keep up in giving the increases, the bonuses that employees need, you find that employees are then looking to jump ship and find better opportunities in terms of getting better pay. Many companies during the pandemic took the direction of they would try as much as possible to not let go of staff, you know, try to be resilient, like we mentioned before. But coming out of that, many companies had to eat into their reserves to keep afloat and ensure that they could keep the employees there. But as we now continue, some of those companies don't have that much reserves in order to keep up with the labor costs. And therefore, we're seeing the shift in the employees wanting better opportunities, access to education, some wanting to work at home, but others are asking, instead of me working 5 days a week, can I work 4 days a week? And so it's more coming also from the shift in employee mindset.
So from what I'm understanding, it could be a mixture of both, that people are seeing their value more, and also the climate is also not allowing businesses to grow at the extent that they should be so that they can keep up with the needs. Just a short comment briefly. I mean, we've seen reports on how big corporates are thinking of cutting their workforce. Telkom is the one that comes top of mind for me at the moment. Is this something that business people that you spoke to felt like is an option for them, decreasing their workforce? Just briefly.
All right. So in terms of this report and looking at mid-market companies, especially the companies that employ between 50 and 500 employees, this is not the sentiment at this stage. And why that is because in times when, especially times before a predicted recession is coming, small businesses, medium-sized companies tend to let go of staff. But then when the upturn comes, it's very difficult to re-employ staff because then you're paying a lot more for that staff, even onboarding of that staff, training of that staff. So in terms of mid-market in smaller companies, we are not seeing that as yet.
Okay. No, and then moving forward now, I mean, moving forward, but to move back. Last week, in his annual budget speech, the finance minister made some energy-related pronouncements that would help ease the pressure of businesses battling with load shedding. Your initial reactions to these measures announced by Treasury, and are they enough to support business and to restore the business optimism?
So if we look at this five-point plan, you know, just a few of the points. Number one, maintaining and servicing the Eskom power plants, acquiring more electricity from outside our borders, revitalizing the emergency energy procurement process, enhancing Eskom skill capacity. So these 5 points seems, in terms of going forward, it seems like at least we have a plan. At least it's a plan the government is supporting, National Treasury, and so on. My concern is it takes time. My concern is that businesses need interventions in the short term. And even if you look at, you know, our president announced that the country is in a state of disaster and wanting to appoint the Minister of Electricity, maybe that will anticipate an improvement in the outlook for the next 12 months in terms of investment economic conditions. However, once again, this takes time. This Minister of Energy will deal with the electricity crisis by expediting energy projects and limiting regulatory requirements, you know, maintaining strict environmental safeguards, procurement principles. This takes time. So I think for an outlook, great. There's a plan in action. My concern is, are businesses able to, in the short term, still keep afloat?
Yes, and I think that is quite the concern for not just the medium enterprises, but the micro and small enterprises as well.
Yes.
What can business do in the meantime? Like, what measures can they put in place to stay afloat until the government relief kicks in?
So some recommendations as first steps. I think, first of all, just managing costs carefully. Small SMEs, in terms of cost, sometimes finance is more expensive for SMEs. You'll find that because they don't have the clout of the bigger organizations, they tend to pay more for goods and services. I think in terms of SMEs, to pool together, especially in value chains, how can they work together in terms of having that clout to buy better, renegotiating contracts with the bigger brothers. In terms of, when I say bigger brothers, it's bigger corporates in their supply chains. Looking to lock in certain prices, you know, if possible, they can hedge where appropriate. But when it comes to SMEs as well, I think what's vitally important is that there is a lot of relief measures that are currently there. If you look at the Enterprise and Supplier Development from our BE Act, SMEs do not know that it could access some of these opportunities. If you look at some of the government financing, you know, it could be an opportunity there. If there are SMEs that's doing a lot of work in the green space, solar, there's relief measures there. So I think while we're waiting for these other relief measures, there's currently quite a bit that is available, and SMEs should try their best to try to find these low-hanging fruits of support.
Definitely. So the report also, like you said earlier, actually, you mentioned this, about how SA businesses are still quite optimistic about new investments. Sentiments here at home seem more positive than what the global trend indicates.
Yes.
Why do you think that is the case? Let's start off there.
All right. So if we have to look at when we were in COVID-19, and why I go there, because it was outside of our control. The world was literally shutting down. But if you had to look at South Africa, and I'm just using the mining industry, that had carried us. And that's because South Africa has assets in terms of its natural resources. And in terms of the metals that we mine, and if you look at where the world is heading to in terms of solar farms, wind farms, batteries, electric batteries, those elements that are used in the renewable energy space is metals that South Africa has an abundance of that we can supply the world with. So unlike other countries that may not have access to such natural resources, I think that's where some of the confidences come from, because just on the mining industry alone, it had such a massive impact that even if you looked at our tax rates came down, you know, so and it helped our country. So if you focus, well, just on that industry and the after effects as well as the significance, and I think that's where some of the confidence is coming from. We have something that the world needs right now, and we're in a position to become an even bigger global player.
And just to close off then, I mean, this study was conducted for the second half of 2022. And since then, a lot has happened. And the most recent being the placement of South Africa on the grey list. How does this affect business optimism, do you think? And how will it factor into the next report?
All right, fantastic. So first of all, I think it should be noted that the purpose of grey listing by the Financial Action Task Force is not to destroy or damage a country. It's not intended to make the economic environment more difficult or prevent flows of money in and out of borders, you know. Instead, it's about raising the standard of compliance in a country. In South Africa, our financial services sector is quite strong. So banks in the banking sector and our legislation already meet most of the requirements. But where you're going to see an effect is that it's going to lead to more likely to extra paperwork and delays in processing of finance. And I think that's where we're going to see the indirect effect of getting finance. So if you look at a country like Mauritius, they got off their grey list in 18 months. And that's what South Africa should be focusing on in this moment in time. How do we get out of these? There were 8 strategic areas that was identified, and the Reserve Bank has now come to the parties in terms of saying that they're really focusing on making sure that we get through this. So for me, the indirect effect is going to be this access to finance, the delay in getting it. I think in terms of the next report, we're going to see the shortage of finance going higher amongst businesses. And obviously, if there's not enough finance, that's possibly going to lead to more employee costs, employees leaving. So yeah, you might just find in the next half, just depending on what is happening here, there might be a bit less confidence.
Just quickly, for those looking for the report, where can they find it?
All right. It's on the SNG Grant Thornton website. You'll be able to, if you go to the website, it's the first thing that pops up. It's the IBR report, but it's found on our website.
That is Eugen Pele, the Director of Business Consulting at SNG Grant Thornton, unpacking exactly how optimistic business is about South Africa and what the expectations for the 2023 period is looking like. Thank you, Eugen.
Thank you, Connor. Very nice speaking to you. All the best.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please like and follow Small Business Conversations and don't forget to share our episodes. If you want to contribute to the conversation, you can tweet me at machoba_A or you can email smepodcast@moneyweb.co.za to share your thoughts and suggestions for future conversations. Till next time, goodbye.
You've been listening to Small Business Conversations with Akona Machoba. To listen to more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za, the MoneyWeb app, or your favorite podcast platforms. MoneyWeb, your trusted source for business and investment insights.